Radhe Radhe. So this is Sunday Satsang, December 27th, 2015. And we have a question that someone told me was on that Facebook, because I'm on off the net, I don't go on the net anymore. It was from Mr. Pranavallava, who happens to be sitting here with Mrs. Vallava, whoever. Says, how to get Siddhadeya, and what is the references for that? Is that you? Yeah. So I had mentioned before, there are three ways by which one can attain his spiritual form or his Siddha Sarup, as Rupa Goswami Pada describes it. There's basically, as far as clearly told in Shastras, there's basically two ways. But if we want to be a little liberal, we can find some support to find two other ways. So there are two primary ways by which a sadhaka, a Vaishnava sadhaka, can attain or will attain or does attain his spiritual form. One is, of course, they're basically one. Either Guru gives or Krishna gives. Guru gives directly, or Krishna gives. These are the two primary ways. So, of course, Guru himself is Sakshat Krishna, Krishna Kripa Murti. So, in one sense, saying that Guru gives is also saying, if the Guru gives you directly and says, he sits down the disciple at the time of initiation, if he chooses to see it that way or act that way, or later when he sees a qualification of his sincere and serious disciple, he may directly give him his Siddhadeya, his spiritual form, his name and complexion, age, his nitya seva, dress, place of residence, place of seva, and Sakigan, Yuteshri, group leader, etc. So we'll discuss one by one, but just in this presentation we're going to make a little more liberal approach and say not only there are two ways to attain one's spiritual form or Siddha Sarup, but there are four ways. And the third way is the holy name can reveal. Because again, the holy name is Krishna. So whether the Guru directly reveals, or Krishna gives the Siddhadeya, or the holy name, it's ultimately Krishna. You can't say, Guru can't give the Siddhadeya. Guru is Krishna. So then the fourth way, that's three ways. Guru gives, and Krishna gives. These are the two primary ways we find historically and in Shastra. And third way is holy name, which we're presenting on the basis of Anuman Praman, which means logic. It is logical that the holy name being Krishna. We'll discuss that. And the fourth way is that one self-created Siddhadeya, that the sadhaka, due to his intense lobamaya shraddha, his faith, which is saturated with intense natural greed and attraction for Krishna, and especially particular resident of the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan, like Radharani, Lalita Vishakha, Rupa Mantri, Rati Mantri, and their specific bhavas and their sevas of Madhurya Rati and Madhura Vav, and their intimate, conjugal, wonderful sevas rendered to Radha and Krishna, and their Parakiya Vav, Madhurya Leela, Shringara Rati Leela in Vrindavan, if the sadhaka is attracted to that intensely so, and he doesn't receive from Guru, or Krishna doesn't give his Siddhadeya, or the holy name hasn't revealed yet, then he can create his own. So now we'll discuss these four individually. and try to give some Shastric references here and there. This whole concept of the Siddha Sarup and spiritual identity that the sadhakas or the Vaishnavas, devotees of Vishnu, Krishna, etc., that they have a spiritual body is based, there's not that much discussion in our primary Shastras like Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the Mukhya Praman or the main reference Shastra to prove our philosophy and Siddhanta is the Srimad Bhagavatam and the supplementary works of the six Goswamis, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Rupa Goswami's writings, etc. There's not all that much even described about it. In the whole Bhagavatam, the special verse that talks about spiritual bodies that's generally quoted by all the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas like Sri Jiva Goswami and the Sandarvas and other modern gurus and acharyas, they quote Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, chapter 9, verse 11, where it talks about Vaikuntha Murtis. And that particular verse, in other words, where is this? First, before we talk about the Siddha Sarup or the spiritual body, my spiritual body, where is my Siddha Sarup, my eternal spiritual body? Where is my eternal spiritual form? The first question is, where is it? What is it? Where is it? It's a Satchidananda body, obviously, meant for the eternal service of Radha and Krishna. And that body is where? It's, sometimes people think that body's in my mind, that body's in my heart. But according to the Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, chapter 9, verse 11, states that the spiritual bodies are in the spiritual world. The verse is quoted by Sri Jiva Goswami in Priti Sandarbha number 10, Priti Sandarbha number 10, 3.9.11. In Vaikuntha, spiritual world, there are infinite, it means unlimited, numbers of spiritual bodies present as parts of the divine effulgence of the transcendental body of Bhagavan. And the transcendental body of each sadhaka, his transcendental body, his siddhadeya, is one of those. It's there. When a sadhaka attains siddhi and Krishna prema, he drops his physical body, and then Bhagavan Sri Krishna identifies his meditative transcendental body, siddhadeya, with his spiritual body in the Chit-dham or Vaikuntha spiritual world. In other words, by revelation of the holy name or being awarded and given one siddhadeya by Sri Guru, or by creating one's own or designing or choosing one's own and then meditating on that and going through anartha nivritti and nishta and ruchi and asakti and bhav and coming to prem, however you go, whether you create your own siddhadeya, design your own, which we'll describe, or a guru gives or the holy name gives, you'll realize it and see it and attain it at bhava and prema. So this is called siddhi. So that's why saying at the time of siddhi, that body that you're meditating on, Krishna will give that body. That body's there in the spiritual world. Somehow you choose one, then Krishna will give you that one. Yayatamam prabhadyante itam sataiva bhajamiham. Although that's not the general way. And the Priti Sandarbha, Sri Jiva Goswami gives this commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam 3.9.11, where he's talking about priti, or love of God, and perfection of attaining one's siddhadeya, spiritual form. Sri Jiva Goswami Pad says, the spiritual body present in Vaikuntha is, quote, inactive. But it becomes active as soon as it is identified with the meditative transcendental body of the sadhaka. The siddhadeya spiritual form that Raghunuga sadhaka, means one who is practicing Raghunuga bhakti, the siddhadeya, the spiritual form, the siddha sarup that the Raghunuga sadhaka meditates on at the time of practice in this body, man, woman, whatever, during his sadhana and his manasi seva, it is not imaginary. It is not false or temporary. That body that the sadhaka is meditating on is a reflection of the transcendental body which Bhagavan Sri Krishna, out of his infinite kindness, imparts or gives to the devotee. The transcendental body, the siddhadeya, is a gift of Bhagavan Sri Krishna, as proven in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3.9.11, where it says, Vibhavayanti tat vapu pranayase sad anugrahaya. Anugraha. The word anugraha, A-N-U-G-R-A-H-A. Anugraha. It's there in the Bhagavad Gita also, 10th chapter. Vapu means body, tat vapu, that body, prana, yase, sad anugraha. Because of the compassion and mercy of Krishna, one is given that body. So this is where the spiritual body is. Now the general tradition that we find in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, because we're Gaudiyas, so we should discuss our tradition, since Lord Chaitanya's times, 500 years ago, is that the guru gives the siddhadeya. The contemporary modern disciples of Srila Nantadas Pandit and Babaji Maharaj, they explain when they asked their guru, and he said, they asked, how do you give us our siddhadeya? How do you get it? And he said, I meditate on all my predecessor gurus, my guru parampara, and I meditate on the Samasti Guru, who is the original Adi Guru, Jagat Guru, Sri Krishna, in the spiritual world. And I ask him to please reveal the transcendental body in Vaikuntha, in Goloka Vrindavan, of this Shishya, of this Sadhaka, whom I'm going to initiate with this Siddha Pranali and give his spiritual body. So Krishna reveals that body, that transcendental body, in my mind and heart, and then I give it to the disciple. So here it's clearly an example that by the anugraha of Krishna, coming through the anugraha of Krishna, which is mentioned in 3.9.11 Bhagavatam, that anugraha of compassion is coming through the tangible, seeable, feelable representative of Krishna in the form of Sri Guru. Sri Krishna comes before us as Sri Guru. He is a Kripa Shakti Murti, Krishna Kripa Shakti. Kripa means anugraha, mercy. So by the mercy of Krishna, coming through the mercy of Guru, one receives his siddhadeya, and this is the traditional way how it's done. So this is the way in Gaudiya Sampradaya it was done in Lord Chaitanya's time, in 15th century, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st, and even today, the majority of parivars or families, groups of disciplic successions coming from Gadadhar Pandit and Prakrishra Pandit and Shamananda Pandit and Narottam Das Thakur, the Narottam Das Thakur parivar, Lord Nityananda, Advaita Prabhu, and Gadadhar, and so many parivars and lines are there. They all give all the gurus give the siddhadeya to their disciples. This is the history. Now, in Sandarbhas, we'll give some examples of that from Shastra. But now we're still going to discuss some points from Shastra to support and explain how the Guru gives us Sudadeya. In Bhakti Sandarbha, by Sri Jiva Goswami Pada, in verse 283, which the verse is not in front of me right now, but I wrote down the, maybe it's here also. That is the verse, 283. It talks about the time of Diksha. Yes, it says the Diksha Guru, Anuchet 283, of course there's several subdivisions, but it's talking about Diksha, when the Guru gives Diksha to the disciple. So the verse says that the Guru Diksha means the giving of transcendental knowledge, bestowing of transcendental knowledge. So there, Sri Jiva Goswami explains, the Guru gives two types of knowledge, Bhagavat Sarup Gyan and Bhagavat Sambandha Vishesh Gyan. So Bhagavat Sarup Gyan means that he gives knowledge of the form, Sarup of Krishna. And when he says, that's obvious, then he says Bhagavat Sambandha Vishesh Gyan. Vishesh means, the word Vishesh means special, unique. Gyan means knowledge. Unique knowledge, unique wisdom. And it's Bhagavat Sambandha, so he gives Bhagavat Sarup. The Guru gives knowledge of Krishna's form, name, form, qualities, pastimes, etc. Then he gives to the disciple, he gives knowledge also of the Sambandha, the relationship of the disciple with Krishna. And this is called Vishesh Gyan. So many Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, they understand this to mean, and this is understanding is coming since Jiva Goswami's time, that this Vishesh Gyan, this special unique knowledge, means knowledge of the Siddhadeya of my disciple. So therefore, at the very time of giving Diksha, giving Gopal Mantra and Kam Gayatri and Guru Mantra and Panchatattva Mantras and Gayatris, maybe Radha Mantra and Gayatri, other mantras, basically, the Diksha mantras are Gopal mantra, and then Kam Gayatri also. So at the time of giving Diksha, these mantras and this knowledge, then most, or many, let's say many, maybe most, the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, they can, using this as praman, the Vishesh Gyan, that special knowledge of the Sambandha means your relationship eternally, that you are eternally Sambandha, you have an eternal relationship with Krishna, as his servant, and this is your Siddhadeya, this is your eternal name and your eternal form. It's called Siddha, your Siddha Sarup. You're so-and-so Mandri, and you have so-and-so complexion and dress, and this is your Nitya Seva, Chamara, or cooking, or fanning with peacock fan, or foot massage, or whatever. Shringar Seva, or grinding Chandan, or preparing drinks, or Rasala, or stringing malas, collecting flowers, many unlimited sevas. So that, although others, so this verse is, can be taken in two ways. That's the primary way which most Gaudiyas take it, that this Vishesh, Bhagavat Sambandha Vishesh Gyan means specialized, unique knowledge of the disciple's relationship with Krishna. Others may, it also can be taken, all this just means the special knowledge of a relationship with Krishna means that the Guru tells the disciple, oh, you're Krishna's eternal servant. Shivara Surupaya Krishnara Nityadas. Teen Shakti Beta Prakash, whatever, there's whole verses there, Teen Shakti. That you're a Shakti, that you're Sambandha with Krishna as you're his part and parcel, and you're his eternal servant. So you should serve Krishna. Just be Krishna Das. Be a servant of the servant of the servant. So that's special knowledge. Because before we met Guru, we thought, I am God, I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. The world is meant for my enjoyment. And I manipulate and control the world in whatever way I can to get my pleasure and happiness and my supremacy and my lordship. So it's a new idea to someone say, look, this is Vishesh Gyana. No, you're not God, Krishna's God. You're not the master, you're the servant. You're not big, you're small. You're not proud, you're humble. You're not the controller, you're the controlled. You're not the enjoyer, you're the enjoyed. You're to be enjoyed by God. You're not to be served, You're not. Everyone shouldn't serve you. You should use everything you have to serve Krishna, serve God. So that can be taken. That verse can also be taken. This is the meaning of diksha for some acharyas. But still, this verse is used to support this vishesh. You can't. So both are right. But the majority of tradition in the Gaudiya Sampradaya is the gurus cite this verse as praman or proof that the guru gives siddhadeya even at the time of diksha. What to speak of later? Giving later, if he doesn't give a diksha, he can certainly give later when a disciple shows the qualification of intense greed and rag and interest in all these braj bhakti and the braj bhavas and resonance of the holy dham, Vrindavan. Now another verse from the Sandarbhas, which is in other words, in the form of special knowledge of the sadhaka's individual relation with Sri Krishna, that means the siddhadeya. And also, he quotes at that place, he quotes Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 15, verse 26. And that verse basically says, whatever form a sadhaka imagines himself to be while meditating, that will automatically become true. So, that's support for the, you get the siddhadeya and you meditate as a sadhaka at the level of anartanivritti or nishtaruchi, etc. And you, it's saying your whatever form the sadhaka is imagining. And then he also quotes, to prove the same point, Sri Jiva Goswami quotes, from Priti Sandarbha. He quotes the Chandogya Upanishad, part 3, chapter 14, verse 1, and the Brihad Aranya Upanishad, chapter 4, verse 45. Then he quotes the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, verse 6, which talks about dying and meditating on Krishna. It says, Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam, tyajit yanta kilevaram, tam tam eveti konteya, sadat tad bhava bhavita. Sada tad bhava bhavitaha. So sada tad that, sada, always. Kirtaniya sadari, sada tad bhava. Bhava means that feeling, that emotion, that condition, bhavita, that condition that you're always meditating on and thinking of, that you'll attain. So if I'm always meditating on my siddha sroop as given by my guru, then I will attain that. So we can look at the 11th canto, Bhagavatam, which is quoted by Sri Jiva Goswami. He's 11:15:26. This is the 11th canto, chapter 15, verse 26. Yata sankalpayat buddhya yadava matpara puman mayi satye mano yunjam tata tat samapashnute. A yogi who has faith in me and absorbs his mind in me, knowing that my purpose is always fulfilled, will achieve his purpose by the very means he has determined to follow. So in other words, sankalpa. Sankalpa means you make a sankalpa. Okay, today's Ekadasi. I'm going to do nirjal. I'm going to do nirjal, not eat or drink anything all day from sunrise today until after sunrise tomorrow. So that's your sankalpa. That's your vow, sankalpa. You're going to accept this. Sankalpa means accepting this. I'm going to accept this tapasya austerity. This is my vow. This is my determination, sankalpa. So I accept that this is my siddhadeya. I'm going to meditate it on every day as instructed by my guru and following the edicts and the ideas of the shastra. And then eventually I will attain that. So this is being spoken. This verse is being spoken by Lord Krishna to Uddhav, 11:15:26, which I just quoted. So he says, a yogi who has faith in me, yoga sankalpayat buddhya. So what? Sankalpa means resolve, determination. By which sankalpa One fixes the mind in this particular sankalpa. When matparaha paman, he has faith in me, then satyam, and he said, that will come true. So the purport says, one will achieve one's objective even if one pursues it at an inauspicious time. Krishna is called Satya Sankalpa, or he whose desire, intention, purpose, or resolve always come to pass. So Krishna is promising here, and that's why Jiva Goswami is citing it in his Sandarbhas, that this, he explains that at the time of initiation, and Bhakti Sandarbha 283, that the Vishesh Gyan, Bhagavat Sambandha Vishesh Gyan, the specialized knowledge of the sadhaka's relationship with Krishna, which is given by the Guru and Diksha, is knowledge of the Siddhadeya. And then he says, if the disciple accepts that, and with faith, matparaha, his mind fixed in Krishna, and with a sankalpa, yes, I resolve, this is my eternal identity, and I resolve that with determination, I will meditate like this every day, as instructed by my Guru. And Krishna's telling that my sankalpa will fructify. He's telling here in Uddhava Gita, 11:15:26, a yogi who has faith in me, that's a bhakti yoga, yoginam api sarvesha madgetane taratmana. That's in 6th chapter of Gita, verse 47. And he knowing that my purpose is always fulfilled, he said he will achieve his purpose by the very means he has determined to follow. So Krishna is assuring here, he's giving assurance and giving a promise. You take a sankalpa? Yes, my resolve is Guru has given me the siddhadeya at the time of Diksha or whenever, and I'm meditating on it, so I will realize and attain perfection, realize my siddhadeya, and see Krishna and eternally serve him. So Krishna is saying, your purpose will always be fulfilled, and you will achieve your purpose by the means that you're following. The means is meditating and doing manasi seva. Very nice verse. We can see Vishnu Chakravarti's commentary on the same verse. This is here quoted also. Another translation is by Pujyapad Srila Bhanuswami. Yata sankalpa yed buddhya yada va matpara puman mai satye mano yunjams tata tat samapashnute. 11:15:26 Bhagavatam. Sri Krishna is telling Uddhava Gita, a yogi who has faith in me, absorbing his mind in me, who am the fulfiller of all desires, he will achieve his desired object by that very means. So the means is meditation. The whole chapter is about meditation. Smaran. When the purport by Vishwanath. Whatever one desires, one will attain by absorbing his mind in me, because I fulfill all desires. Whatever one desires, and by whatever means one surrenders to me, absorbing his mind in me, who am the fulfiller of all desires, he will attain the desired object by that means. This city that he attains is called Sankalpa City. In other words, you attain the perfection or the fruition of your sankalpa or your determination or your resolve. So this is a very nice point. There's more to this discussion. So we discussed from 283 how at the time of Diksha the Guru reveals the eternal identity. And this is the tradition that the Guru will give either at Diksha or later when he sees that the disciple is qualified. Now, this verse I mentioned could be taken different ways. That the special knowledge is you're a servant of Krishna, just serve Krishna. Cut vegetables and clean the temple and generate Krishna, whatever. Or can be the other way to give the Siddhadeya. Now there's a verse 312, and this verse 312 from the Bhakti Sandarbha, it's pretty hard to, this one, this is the probably the most solid, or you can say is the most solid verse to prove that the guru gives the Siddhadeya to the disciple. And this one, I never hear this one being discussed too much by those that don't practice this system. But this is a key verse that can't be missing, can't be taken, it can only be taken one way that the guru gives. And this is verse 312 from the Bhakti Sandarbha. And that verse is translated like this. It says, I am meditating upon my special desired perfect form, my Siddhadeya, as has been described and received by the mercy of Sri Guru's lotus feet. There's further discussion of that. Now I'll give the verse with the word-for-word meaning. This is verse 312, Bhakti Sandarbha, which clearly says that the Guru gives the Siddhadeya. And this can't really be argued. It's okay. At the time of worship, because here in this particular section, Anuchet of 312 Bhakti Sandarbha, he's talking about worship, chanting of the Gopal mantra, Kleen Krishnaya Govindaya, which is the primary Diksha mantra. All Vaishnavas, especially Gaudiyas, we get this Gopal mantra, Krishna mantra is called. So he's describing what to think about, what to meditate on, and how to properly chant the Gopal mantra, the Diksha mantra. So that's called Upasanam. Upasana means the method of worship. At the time of worshipping or meditating on Gopal mantra, so this is the English, now the Sanskrit is Ashta Dash Akshar. Ashta 8, Dash 10, Akshar syllable. Ashta Dash Akshar Dhyanam. So he says, at the time when you meditate on the Gopal mantra, you should think. What should you think? I think that I am directly a specific resident of Vrindavan. Upasanam sakshat bhajajana vishesh. Vishesh means special, specific, unique. Bhajajana. Upasanam. Upasanam means a time of worshipping, a time of meditating. I am directly a specific resident. I meditate upon my desired spiritual form, Siddhadeya, as revealed by the instructions of Sri Guru's feet. That's the English. I meditate, that special resident of Vrindavan, that Vishesh, Vrajajana Vishesh, that's me. Who am I? I meditate on my desired spiritual form, Siddhadeya, as revealed by the mercy of Sri Guru's feet. Now this is the Sanskrit. 312 Bhakti Sandarbha. Mayam Sri Guru Charaner Madabhishta Vishesha Siddhyartam. So that means Upadishtam Bhavayami. So this is pretty clear. And I think, so, and in that Siddhadeya that I have been instructed in by mercy of Sri Guru, I think I am directly serving Krishna. Sakshat tu Sri Brajendra Nandan Sevamana Bhavayami. So this is when he meditates on a Siddhadeya. This is the tradition in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. He meditates on a Siddhadeya given by Guru, Sri Guru Charana, and Upadishtama says, it says, Mayam Sri Guru Charana Madhabishta Vishesha Siddhartam Upadishtam. Upadish means Upadesh, means as I, the Vishesh Siddhartam. Siddhartam means the objective, the body, the perfect body, that special Siddhadeya, Madhabishta, that I desired, that I was instructed in Upadishtam by Sri Guru Charan. Mayam means my Sri Guru, Mayam. Mayam Sri Guru Charaner, Madhabishta, Vishesha, Siddhyartam, Upadishtam, Bhavayami. So, I meditate on that body given by Guru, then I'm chanting the Gopal Mantra, and I'm thinking in that body, in the association of Srimati Radharani and all the Gopijanas, because that's the mantra, all the Gopijana and all the Vallabhas, all the beloveds of Gopinath, especially Radharani, I think that I'm directly serving Brajendra Nandan. So this is how one should meditate and then serve when he's chanting Gopal Mantra. So this is verse 312 from the Sandarbhas, and it's pretty clear that the Guru gives the Siddhadeya. Actually, in that verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 3.9.11, which talks about the Siddhadeyas are in the spiritual world as particles of the effulgence of the Lord, and one of those bodies is given to the sadhaka. The Prabhupada himself, he mentions in his purport, he says this, Vishnu Chakravarti, another translation of his tika is this, that devotees who have heard from the Guru's mouth perfectly ascertain the exact way of practicing sadhana bhakti. Even without hearing, your devotee fixes his mind on a particular form of yours in meditation, then you manifest that exact form. Another translation of this, another translation of the verse, 3.9.11. The practicing devotee meditates on a certain form according to their particular mood, and then Lord Krishna manifests that exact body for them, which is their Siddhadeya, their body of perfection. Oh, how submissive to your devotee you are, Sri Krishna. So this is another translation of 3.9.11 of the Tika. Now, we're speaking now, point one, how the Guru gives, and we just described some of the Praman and some Shastras to explain, and we said this has been the basic tradition. So where do we find in the tradition? We find, of course, different mentions. In the book called Prem Vilas, which is written by the personal associate and disciple of Janavamata, who is an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya Sri Nityananda Das, he describes how Gopal Bhatta Goswami, one of the six Goswamis, gave Siddhadeya and Siddhapranali initiation to Srinivas Acharya. And he gave the name Mani Manjari and described as Seva. And another eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya's name is Gopal Guru Goswami. Gopal Guru Goswami met Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri when he was a young boy and developed, the whole time Lord Chaitanya was in Puri, he was having association and friendship with Gopal Guru. So in Gaur Govinda Smarana Padati, it explains how Dhyan Chandra, who's a disciple of Gopal Guru Goswami, Gopal Guru Goswami is a disciple of Vrikreshwara Pandit. So Vrikreshwara Pandit is Lord Chaitanya's eternal associate, Tunga Vidya Sakhi. So Vrakreshwara Pandit initiated Gopal Guru in Puri, and Gopal Guru initiated Dhyan Chandra, and he initiated him to Siddhadeya. So the assumption would be that Vrakreshwara Pandit gave the Siddhadeya to him. But it's clearly that Dhyan Chandra received Siddhadeya and the Ekadash Bhav from his guru, Gopal Guru. That's told in Gorgamanda Smarana Padati, which of course is in English. And in there, Dhyan Chandra talks about meditating in Ekadash Bhav, meditating on the Siddhadeya, as he received these teachings from his guru. And in Prem Vilas, chapter 6, it describes how Gopal Bhatta Goswami of the six Goswamis, a very interesting point which I've never seen before, but it explains how in Prem Vilas chapter 7 that Lord Chaitanya himself gave Siddha Pranali to Lokanath Goswami. He gave him his spiritual, his Siddha form. That's described there, Prem Vilas chapter 7. So this is the basic information of the tradition. It's explaining how the guru gives, and that's the tradition in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. We cited some philosophy to support that from verses from the Bhagavatam and from Sri Jiva Goswami's Sandarvas. And also we see the historical record is there of devotees 500 years ago receiving their Siddhadeya from guru. So it's not a new thing. And Lokanath Goswami, of course, gave Siddhadeya to Narottam Das Thakur. And there's so many examples. What to speak of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who's a contemporary person, lived in the 20th century, great Acharya, and he himself took Siddha Pranali from his guru, Vipin Bihari Goswami, and received the Ekadash Bhav, which he writes about in his books, Jiva Dharma and Harinam Chintamani. And not only that, we find in the biography of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, it's described how he himself gave Siddha, he's a guru, and he gave Pranali, he initiated some of his disciples, Srila Narayan Maharaj, Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Maharaj. He's explaining in his own books that when he was asked that question, he said that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave Siddha Pranali to about 10 or 12 of his disciples. He told them their eternal spiritual names, etc. So there's another example of guru giving. Now, the second way that the sadhaka can receive the Siddhadeya is by receiving from Krishna at death. And this, we have examples in Shastra of this. We have Shastric support from this, where Krishna, Lord Vishnu in most cases, Lord Vishnu or Krishna, brought the Siddhadeya from the spiritual world, from Vaikuntha, which is where all the spiritual bodies or Siddha Sarups are located, according to Srimad Bhagavatam 3.9.11. Vishnu brought the Siddhadeya and gave it to his devotees, according to his free will and their spiritual attainment. So the obvious, clearest example is Sri Narada Muni in the first canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 6, verses 27 and 28, explain how the Lord brought the Siddhadeya to him. Fourth canto, the example of Dhruva Maharaj receiving his Siddhadeya from Krishna, Vishnu. Ajamiel in the sixth canto and Gajendra in the eighth canto. These are Shastric references. From the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's four basic ones where Krishna gives the spiritual body. And sometimes you can cite minor ones like the yogic Brahmins and Vrindavan Leela of Krishna. It says one yogic Brahmani lady, she couldn't get out of her house to go bring fruits and offerings to Krishna when all the other ladies ran out to meet Krishna. When he was hungry with the coward boys, she was restrained. So it's said there that Krishna gave her spiritual body, and in her spiritual body she came and she met Krishna, embraced him, and had intimate exchange with him in a conjugal way or whatever, some type of intimacy in this Madhurya Rati mood. So that's an example of Krishna giving Siddhadeya. And there are other minor examples, but the primary examples of Krishna giving the spiritual body to a sadhaka. In the case of Narada Muni, in First Canto of Bhagavatam, Chapter 6, it explains that he was experiencing bhava and symptoms of bhava and even attained prema. And then when he gave up his body, he became an eternal associate of the Lord, Nitya Parishad, a Narayana Bhakta. Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. And he got his spiritual form. And then in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, he did so much intense austerity. So both those cases are young boys, 5 years old. Dhruva Maharaj was 5. Narada Muni was about 5 or 6, 7, not very old. And then Ajamaya was an old man, and he had such a wretched life, and at the end of life he went to Haridwar. He was saved from death by the holy name, Sri Namprabhu. Went to Haridwar, and then he attained his spiritual form, was brought from Vaikuntha for him. The most amazing thing is Gajendra in 8th canto. Gajendra is not even a human, an elephant. He wasn't doing any siddha pranali, wasn't doing any mandri meditation, and he wasn't doing any bhajan. He wasn't chanting 1 lakh of rounds every day, and he wasn't doing any kind of bhajan. He was an elephant. But in his previous life, he was King Huhu. I think it was King Huhu. And he was a great king, and somehow he was cursed, he became an elephant. But he was a king, but he was also a Vaishnava, a worshiper of Vishnu. So he memorized and spoke so many nice verses in Vishnu Stuti, Uttama Shloka, wonderful shlokas to glorify his Ishtadev, Ishtadeva to Lord Vishnu. And he used to offer lotus flowers to the Lord in his murti form, in the temple, the mandir, in his palace, Raj Mandir, because he was a king and he had his own temple of Lakshmi Narayan. So he was doing puja in that puja room, offering lotus flowers. So he had those sanskaras, bhakti sanskaras from his previous life. And even when he came in elephant form, he carried those sanskaras with him. The sanskaras, bhakti sanskaras, to do puja and shringar, to offer lotus flowers to the Lord and to chant shlokas in glorification of the Lord. So as you know, they say an elephant never forgets. So when the crocodile, which was another king that became a crocodile, was biting his leg and dragging him into the water to finish his life, then in that exasperated, submissive and totally surrendered condition, Gajendra, with his trunk, he picked up a lotus flower and he offered it up to the heavens, because God is up there somewhere. He offered it to Vishnu. And then he remembered a prayer from his last life, and he spoke a prayer, a stuti, to glorify Vishnu. And Vishnu responded in kind to his devotee and gave him perfection and brought his spiritual body. So these are the two primary ways the Guru gives his Siddhadeya or Krishna gives his Siddhadeya. And of course, some people can say, oh, Krishna gave my Siddhadeya in a dream, etc. But we don't find any praman for that so much in Shastra. Even there's examples in Shastra where even a great devotee like Sita Devi, Advaita Prabhu's wife, she said, oh, I had a dream. I had a dream that in my dream Lord Nityananda initiated me. So now I'm a disciple of Lord Nityananda. And then Advaita Prabhu said, no, this doesn't count. You can't count your dream. You should go to Nityananda and take initiation. You go and meet him, he's there. The dreams this is not initiation. So generally dreams are dreams. But they also can be very significant. But as far as how to get the Siddhadeya, we can say Guru gives, Krishna gives. We gave the examples of when and how that happens. And a third way, which is by logic, is the holy name can give. Groups, they advocate that simply by chanting the holy name, then the holy name will reveal everything. So that can't be denied on the basis of anuman praman. Praman means proof, and anuman means logic. So it's a basis of logic, because we see that Lord Chaitanya himself, he's glorifying Krishna Nam Sankirtan. Krishna's unlimited names are not the Namam. Govinda Dhamma Dara Madhaveti. And so many Vishnu Sahasranam, Gopal Sahasranam, Radha Sahasranam, many, many Sahasranams of the Lord. Maybe Gauranga Sahasranam, I don't know, maybe also. There's also 100 names of Gauranga for sure. So many unlimited names of the Lord. But the names that Krishna, that Lord Chaitanya, what he emphasized was Krishna Nam. And he favored that because the name of Krishna is the most powerful. It's the most powerful and full of rasa. So therefore, when Lord Chaitanya is describing Nam Sankirtan, he doesn't just say any Nam Sankirtan. He says, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan Ki Jai. So this is the Chaito Dharpana Marjanam. So he's saying that this name is Sri Krishna. Sri means Radharani. And Krishna is Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan. Krishna is too Bhagavan Swayam. So he doesn't say Govinda, Nam, and all those are very powerful. Krishna, especially Krishna. Pram Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Then, after concluding that first verse of Shikshastakam with Pram Vijayate Sri Krishna, then he describes, why am I saying Sri Krishna? What is so special about Sri Krishna Sankirtan is that Nam Namakari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis. In this name, Krishna, Nija Sarva Shakti, Nija, your own, Sarva, all, Shakti. Oh Krishna, hey Bhagavan, he's praying in Radhavav, in Mahavav. It's chapter 20 of Antya Leela, in Gambhir Leela, the last few months of his Prakat Leela. Last very few months, this prayer came out of his mouth in the association of Rai Ramananda and Srup Damodar at 1 o'clock at night. Nobody else was there. It wasn't a class. It wasn't a pravachan sitting on a vyasasan. It wasn't a class. Wasn't that Tota Gopinath giving some lecture or listening to some lecture of Gadadhar Pandit. It was alone in the deep, dark privacy of the Gambhira, very secret, private, late at night in the Britta time. And it's Cheto Dharpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadavakti Vafna Nam Namakariva. So this name, Krishna's name, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it has all the powers of God. It is Krishna. There's no difference. Namachintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigra Purna Shuddha Purna Nityamukta Binatvam Binatvam Bina. There's no difference. Binatvam Naminamano. The name Krishna's Nam and Krishna are one. Chintamani, wish-fulfilling gem. Completely perfect, Purna, Nityamukta, eternally liberated, completely pure and perfect, Purna Shuddha, and full of ras. Nama Chintamani Krishnas. Again, the word Krishnas. This is Padma Puran quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Nama Chintamani Krishnas, Chaitanya Rasavigas. So the Krishna name, the Krishna name Krishna is Pram Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Krishna's name is all powerful. So by logic we can say Krishna's name can give the Siddhadeya. Krishna's name can give everything. Because Krishna's name is everything. Krishna's name is Krishna. So that's the third way that one can receive Siddhadeya. We don't find anything, any of our books written by our acharyas where someone chanted Hare Krishna and realized the Siddhadeya. But we do find histories written by our authorized Gaudiya Vaishnavas and acharyas where the guru gives directly, or Krishna gives at death, or that not only the guru gives directly, and there's examples historically of the guru giving directly, which I cited already, but showing Shastras from the last 500 years, this sounds, at least Shastras written by Baladeva Dibhushan, Nartam Das, Vishnu Chakravarti, Sadgoswamis, and Bhagavatam. We don't find someone who's chanting Hare Krishna and Siddhadeya. Fourth way is self create, where due to your intense spiritual greed and before one designs or creates his own or gives himself his own Siddhadeya. So this key verse here, the verse that discusses Bhava Bhakti, Bhava, another name for Bhava is Rati, Rati or Bhava, is from Bilvamangala Thakur, Krishna Karanamritam, verse number 2, and there's a very famous commentary written by our Gaudiya Vaishnava Mahajan, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Pad. He's one of our 8 Goswamis. Rupa, Sanatan, Jiva, Raghunath Bhatta, Raghunath Das, Gopal Bhatta. These are the 6 Goswamis, and Raghunath Bhatta. The 7th Goswami is Lokanath Goswami, and the 8th Goswami is Krishnas Kaviraj. This is general understanding of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. So Krishnas Kaviraj, of course, he's given us the Govinda Lilamrita and the Krishna Chaitanya Charitamritam. These are primary shastras for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So he's a great Mahajan. And he is mentioning there, his tika on Krishna Karnamrita is called Saranga Rangada. So in verse 2 in his tika, and we'll mention that tika. Well, here it is. This is the tika in Sanskrit. Raga Nuga Marge Anutpana Rati Sadaka Bhaktavi Api Swapshita Siddha Deham Manasi Parikalpya Bhagavat Sivadikam Kriyate Jataratinam Tu Swayam Eva Tad Deha Spurte. It's very hard. There's different editions of in English of the Krishna Karnamrita. One is published with the commentaries of Krishna's Kaviraj, and also is presented by Srila Nantadas Babaji Maharaj. There's another one presented by Banu Maharaj, another one presented by Kushakrata, and another one presented by the Sri Gaudiya Math of Chennai. And I have all 4 of them. I have all 4 of those Krishna Karnamritas. But none of them has the tika written in Sanskrit. But if you go on the net, there's something called Gaudiya Granta Library. And Gaudiya Granta Library, some devotees, they scanned all the Sanskrit with the English transliteration also, and Sanskrit, Hindi, all the commentaries and shastras, Sandarvas and Krishna Karnamrita. So there you can go on and find the tika. That's how we have the tika. Although these 4 editions, they don't have they have the English, which is in many cases not very good translation, very clear. But when you have the actual Sanskrit, Raghunuga Marge Unutpana Rati Sadaka Bhaktavi Api Swapshita Siddhadeham Siddhadeham Manasi Parikalpya. The key word here is Siddhadeham Manasi Parikalpya. Bhagavat Sevadikam Kriyate jatta ratinam tu swayam eva tad deha spurte. So let's look at this word in the commentary on verse 2 by Krishna's Kaviraj. He mentions the word parikalpya. So the word parikalpya, parikalpya. What does it mean? We're discussing now the 4th way to attain one's siddhadeya, which is by do it yourself, self-created, the freelancer, the self-creator. So this word, Sanskrit word, parikalpya, means to create, to manufacture, to design your own siddhadeya. The translation of the shloka I've just read to you by the Sri Gaudiya Math edition published in Chennai says this. The sadhaka, this is their translation on what Krishna's Kaviraj is saying. The sadhaka can serve Sri Krishna in meditation after having thought out in concentration a siddhadeya for themselves. Paryakalpya, manufacture, give yourself. It says in the Sanskrit is Siddhadeyam Manasi Paryakalpyam. Not so difficult. Siddhadeyam Manasi, in your mind, Paryakalpya, what you create, what you manufacture, what you design. After having thought out in concentration a Siddhadeya for himself, that's on page 4 and 5. In the second translation of the same Tika, which I read in Sanskrit by Bano Swami, basically the same. On this path of Raghunuga Bhakti, even the sadhakas who have not attained bhava yet may produce or create or design Paryakalpya in their minds a desired Siddhadeya. Siddha Deham Manasi Paryakalpya. And perform service, Manasi Seva, to Sri Krishna in that Siddhadeya. Page 15, Bhana Maharaj's translation of Krishna Karnamrita. That's what it says. Swepshita Siddhadeham Manasi Paryakalpya Bhagavat Seva, Bhagavat Sevadikam Kriyate. Kriyate, he does. He does. And then here's another translation. The word Paryakalpya means manufacture, design, create, or sculpt. Like a sculptor. On the path of Raghunuga Bhakti, the sadhaka will mentally imagine their own desired spiritual body as long as Rati or Bhav has not yet appeared in his heart. And in that spiritual body that he has created, manufactured, he will serve Krishna in that Siddhadeya. When Rati, which means Bhava Bhakti, manifests in his heart, then that very body which he's meditating on will automatically be revealed. That's why the last line says, Jata Ratinam tu Swayam Eva Tad Deya Spurte. So this translation I just gave you is very accurate to the Sanskrit. And the other ones were close. Basically the same idea. Meditate on your own and you'll get that. But this last part, they don't even, it just says they'll perform seva. So you choose and you create or manufacture your own Siddhadeya in your mind. You serve in that and then you will attain that. That part is not there. And this is the support. When will you attain it? Jata means janma. Rati means bhav. When bhava takes birth, to swayam. Swayam eva tad deha spurte. Swayam, your, that your body, eva, certainly deha spurte. That spurt, deha, body, spurte, will be manifest, will be seen. Very nice verse for the freelancers. Self-creating, so that four ways to realize Siddhadeya. So those sadhakas that have that intense greed and that intense desire, they may choose for themselves and they can use this verse to support that. Although this is not traditional and this is just one tika, but it's important. It's very important. And then the idea of Krishna reciprocating yayatamam prapadyante with your endeavor, and some of the verses I already mentioned to you, 3.9.11 Bhagavatam can also apply here. You're meditating, so Krishna will give you that. And also the 11th canto, chapter 15, verse 26. Whatever the yogi is meditating on as his sankalpa, then Krishna will give him that satya sankalpa. So this ends our discussion about four ways to attain Siddhadeha. Yeah, Sam Pranavallabha, this is your question, so it's a lot to digest. The tape, you can hear the tape on SoundCloud and Sunday Satsang sometime soon, I don't know, within a couple of months. They're just organizing. And you have it. What's your question now? Oh, wait. Let's try this new system.
Manaji has a question. If you know, like, the guru can give Siddhadeha immediately when he gives
Diksha,
yes. And if guru gives Siddhadeha in that time, but disciples not qualified. It means that he qualified, externally looks like he not qualified, this disciple. But Guru gives. What does it mean?
He's saying that as a tradition of Gaudiya Sampradaya, as the Guru gives, and I mentioned Bhaktisandarbha verse 283, where it's saying that Bhagavad Sambandha, Bhagavad Sandha Vishesh Gyan, that the Guru gives very specialized knowledge, and it can include up to the full description of the Siddhadeya. And so if the Guru is giving, if that Guru is giving to a brand new sadhaka at the time of Diksha, which does happen sometimes, and externally others may see that sadhaka is not very sincere, not very serious, or even qualified, how do we understand what the Guru has done? And of course, basically we should be careful not to make any offenses about what gurus do. Gurus are the Kripa Shakti Murtis of the Lord, and there's numerous verses in Shastras that say that Guru is Sakshat Hari. He's non-different from Krishna. So there's something called Kripa Siddhi. In other words, basically we see it, we see with our eyes, because we can't see the past of that jiva. That jiva who is receiving Siddhadeya at the time of Diksha. I think that's rather rare, but maybe it happens, I can't say. But it can happen, and it does happen many times. So we may see that jiva, that sadhaka in a particular present moment of time, but we don't know who or what he was in last life. We don't know who or what he'll be in this life or in the future life. They say that every sinner has a future, and every saint had a past. Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. Not that you're always a sinner or you're always a saint. Maybe you became a saint or whatever. So the guru, that disciple that he's giving Siddha Pranali to, maybe the guru recognizes that this is my disciple from last life. But the disciple doesn't recognize. And the guru understands because he's Trikala Gyan. The great devotees, the Mahajans, the Mahabhagavats are described as Trikala Gyan. They can see the past, present, and future, but we can't. So he's saying, oh, my old disciple, my old friend has come. And so the disciple is saying, wow, the disciple who's maybe unqualified and apparently undeserving and unqualified by all the other godbrothers or onlookers or whoever sees that phenomenon, but the guru may know his qualification, recognizing him from last life. So we can't question the actions of the guru. The guru is in this particular situation, whereas his prerogative at the time of Diksha, if the guru wants to give, he can give. And the Shastric support is there. It's not that it's what he's doing is supported by Shastra, by tradition. Maybe his own guru also acted like that and gave Siddha Pranali at the time of Diksha. So we simply fold our hands and offer respects. And we don't know, we can never judge who anyone is. We can't even judge ourselves. Even Lord Jesus said, judge not lest ye be judged. Don't judge others or measure others. Otherwise they will judge and measure you. So it's not our business to check or question the actions of the guru in terms of how he relates or teaches or initiates his disciples. That's between guru and disciple. As far as our viewpoint, the outsider. But the insider, the actual disciple, has received Diksha. He's saying, wow, how did I get this mercy? I really got this mercy. I better get serious. And Srila Prabhupada is told in Lilamrita that many times when he would give Brahman Diksha to his Western disciples from America, Europe, he would drape the Brahman thread on their shoulder, across their left shoulder, and under their right arm, and he would say, okay, now become a Brahmin. Now become a Brahmin. Samadamas Tapasho Chir Shantir, like that verse is there in the Gita. Samadamas Tapasho Chir Shantir Arjum Evacha Gyanavigyanam Ashtakam Brahma Karma Sambhavavajam. So Prabhupada, now he's already initiating him and recognizing him and giving his Upavita. Just, but he would sometimes joke or maybe serious, okay, I'm giving you a Brahman initiation, but now become a Brahman. You should be a Brahman already and just confirm that by proper rituals and purifications and attain your genuine, whatever they say in Hindi. Upavita, Brahman initiation, as Prabhupada called it. So Guru said, giving Siddhadeya, okay, now meditate. You weren't qualified yesterday, and you weren't apparently, but now I know you are. I recognize I gave you this special mercy. Now get serious. So we can, as far as your question, how do we understand when a guru gives Siddha Pranali at the time of Diksha? The answer is we can't understand, and we shouldn't try to, but we should understand. We should understand that it's bona fide, a very popular word in some places. Is it bona fide? Is it authorized? It's authorized. It's bona fide. I explained that point. And also the gurus there, they have the latitude and freedom to initiate according to their choice. Even there are rules. There are rules mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas and anywhere, any Smriti Shastras describing Vaishnava Diksha. There are particular rules. These are auspicious months to give Diksha. These are auspicious places. These are auspicious times. These are auspicious and proper circumstances and proper candidates. Then at the end of all of that, all those particular things it's mentioned about when and how to give Diksha, it says, however, the Sadguru, the spiritual master, the Guru, he is at liberty and he is free to initiate whenever, whomever he wants to, wherever and whenever he wants to. So he has that right, and he has that liberty and freedom as Sri Guru to initiate in the wrong month, in the wrong place, in the wrong time, and even apparently an unqualified candidate who's not following Varnashram Dharma. He may be fallen, Mlecha Yavana, whatever, not really even qualified for Vaishnav Diksha, but he bends the rules and he simply gives the mercy, initiates him on a train. And they're on the train going across Kakistan, and the sadhaka meets Sri Guru. And Sri Guru recognizes him or wants to bestow his mercy, and he gives initiation. On the train, in the wrong month, at midnight or whatever, wrong time, in the wrong place, in a moving train. You're supposed to face east, put your right hand on the disciple's head. Or no, everyone's facing north, like this. So there's so many rules. So that's the exception. So the guru giving Siddha Pranali at the time of Diksha, and he does with some. I know some that do that, but then not everyone. And some he doesn't give Siddha Pranali to after many, many years. Many, many years. And I know there's a, who was it? I forget. I was reading somewhere recently in some book. Someone was narrating how they're... someone was telling... some disciples of Ananta Das Pandit, one Bengali gentleman, he said, I have been initiated by Baba for 14 years, but he hasn't given me pranali yet. And you're a Western person, and you just came, and within 2 months you got your Siddha pranali. You're very, very fortunate. This is a Bengali gentleman who spoke English, and he was speaking to this foreign devotee who received very early, maybe within 1 month or so, or immediately, is Siddha Pranali, and the same guru and a disciple. He said, I've been a disciple for so many 10, 12 years, and I have not yet. So the guru can recognize the qualification. Even though the person was a Western person, so you're a Western person, not even an Indian, and you've received this, and I haven't, and I'm Indian. So it has nothing to do with place of birth, has nothing to do with age of body, has nothing to do with gender, has everything to do with the mercy of Krishna and the mercy of guru. They can see everything, past, present, and future. Shri Radhe Shyam. Any more questions? What is that question?
If Guru gave us Siddhadeha,
yes.
Can we realize this Siddhadeha, I mean, without changing pure Nam, Shuddha Nam? It means we should, we can, as you told, we should go through all stages of bhakti and then chant pure nam, shrudanam, and go to level bhava and prema, and then we can only realize it, right?
Yeah, the question about when does one realize the siddhadeha that he creates for himself or receives from guru, or the holy name inspires him to think about. Either way, with the traditional way of the guru giving, to seeing that, that's what it says. That's what this, what Krishna's Kaviraj is saying, that jata ratinam tu swayam eva tad deya spurti, that when one comes to rati, which means bhav, when every sadhaka comes, when the sadhaka comes to the level of bhav, then it will have spurti, vision, manifestation. He will see his own, that body he's been meditating on. So the answer is, and on the way to bhava, then of course it can't be offenses. So if you're chanting up nama parad, then you won't get to bhava. So shudanam means no aparads. When you're free from all aparads, you're chanting shudanam. So we have to chant shudanam. We have to do shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam. We have to do everything. We have to hear about Krishna, chant his holy name, and nam japa and kirtan, and then read about him. We have to do lila smaranam and meditate on our siddhadeha. All the practices of bhakti have to be done. Not that you just sit around all day, I'm siddhadeha, I'm siddhadeha, I'm siddhadeha, I'm so-and-so mantri. You have to serve and cultivate the bhav, cultivate feelings and bhav by hearing and reading about the feelingful exchanges of the Braja Gopis and the Mandris and Radha and Krishna and Leelas, and chant the name and purify the mind and heart so we can meditate more and more. Without a pure mind, we can't attain bhav, and without a pure mind, we can't fix our mind on Radha and Krishna's forms and qualities and pastimes, because our mind is jumping and chanchal and restless and unsteady. So how to cure that condition, how to remove that condition, how to purify the mind and settle the mind and pacify the mind and clarify the mind? By chanting, that's the most powerful way. So as far as you're asking a question, what was the question exactly? If you have siddhadeha and you're doing nama parada, what is it?
How one can develop this?
Not much. If you have siddhadeha and you practice. That's why we cited this verse from 11th canto, 15th chapter, verse 26. You make a sankalpa. You say, okay, I'm chanting. You know, we won't be chanting nama parada forever. Just keep chanting. The way to get free from offense is to keep chanting more and more name. But then, if you've been given Siddha Pranali by Guru, he'll tell you to meditate on this every day and meditate on the Leelas or do Yogapit meditation. And in your Siddha day, you enter the Yogapit and serve and worship the Parishads of Lord Gauranga and Lord and Radha and Krishna. And then meditate on your Siddha day when you enter the Leela and do Seva in your Manasadeya. So this is, you have to follow the instructions of Guru. You chant, you meditate. You have siddhadeha, you're making nama parada. Rome wasn't built in a day. So that's why it's called abhyas. That's why it's called upasanam. It's raghunaga marge anutpana rati sadaka. It's practice. It doesn't, you know, just get siddha pranali and all of a sudden you chant shudanam one day. It's an upasanam. It's a method of worship. It's called raghunaga bhakti upasanam. And that's what Krishna's Kaviraj is saying. On the path of Raghunuga, even the sadhakas have not attained bhav. So if we haven't attained bhav, even in Madhurya Kanamani, Vishnu Chakravarti explains, even to the level of bhav, there's some offenses, some fragrance of offenses, even to prema. So what to speak of? You're practicing Raghunuga Bhakti. Guru is given siddhadeya, or you're thinking of one, and you're meditating, and you're chanting nama parada, but keep chanting, and pretty soon you won't be chanting nama parada, and you'll still continue to meditate, and much more effectively, and for much longer periods of time, you'll be able to hold the pastimes and form of Krishna in your mind, and your own spiritual form, and your Guru's siddhadeya, as the mind becomes more pure and tranquil and peaceful and friendly, user-friendly mind and compatible mind.
She's asking, what is better, how is better to chant 16 rounds in prayerful mood? You're chanting and you're chanting and praying to Holy Name, to Krishna. And if you cannot chant more in this mood, you can chant only using this kind of concentration, method of concentration, trataka, when you reading the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And in this way you can chant more, about you can chant 64 rounds, but you cannot pray, like maintain this mood of praying more than 16 rounds. You can pray only 16, maybe a little bit more, and then you can only read and hear. I mean, no prayers, no meditation. Is it okay?
Yeah. You got to do what you can do. I mean, chant 16 rounds. I mean, you're chanting 16 rounds, and you can fix your mind in the mood of prayer and humility and petitioning and begging the Holy Name for mercy and blessings and revelations. And after that, your mind kind of, you lose your bhav and lose your concentration, and you're just chanting somewhat mechanically at one way and just hearing the Holy Name, but you can't really concentrate your heart so much there because it's too demanding and the heart is too filled up with other distracting thoughts and aparads and anarthas which prevent the natural flow of the heart towards Krishna from moment to moment. So Lord Chaitanya is telling that for our heart to flow to Krishna from moment to moment, then we have to be more humble than a blade of grass and more tolerant than a tree. And then from moment to moment, our mind will always flow to Krishna in a mood of prayer, in a mood of seva, in a mood of love, in a mood of submission, in a mood of absorption and remembrance of Krishna's qualities and pastimes. Srinadapi suni chena tarori vasa hishnana amanina amanidena kirtaniya sadahari. Kirtaniya sadahari. Sadahari means always Hari is in my mind, always Hari is in my heart. Sadahari. Sadahari prartana. Sadahari chintana. Sadahari smarana. Like this. So practice makes perfect. You chant 16 rounds in a prayerful mood, then you chant 16 rounds meditating on the meaning of the Holy Name. Then you chant 16 rounds meditating on Krishna's form, the 19 marks on the bottom of his feet, and what they mean, each of those symbols, what they mean. Then you chant 16 rounds meditating on Krishna's form, I mean, his whole body form, and that's 64. And then you chant 16 more, and you meditate on Krishna's pastimes. So many things you can meditate according to the shastras and according to the dictates and orders of your guru. Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Jai Jai Sri Radhe Shyam.